Lord, as we open your word one more time, I'm so grateful that we do get to be in your house, that the only restrictions we have is in our own hearts, and we sometimes restrict our access to you by our actions and attitudes. I pray, Lord, that we can have soft hearts and clear and pure attitudes that are willing to listen to you, to love you, and to be loved by you, to serve you in every way. Thank you that we do get to search your word, and I pray that today will be a time where it will be clear and understandable. Thank you that we do get to pray in your holy name. Amen. Ephesians 6:13 is our text for today. Page 1789 in your pew Bibles. You probably just can open up the Bible, it'll pop right there because we've been there a while. Therefore, so that, to stand. There's a number of things in this verse, and I think just want to talk a little bit about them, share some scriptures that are supporting scriptures, and then move on with our day and our week. We are in Ephesians because we've been in Ephesians since, 2 years ago. It's a pretty deep book. It has a lot of information that is useful for teaching, for correcting, for rebuking, for training in righteousness. And the more that we can spend time in God's Word, I think that the more solid our hearts and minds and attitudes are going to be towards one another, towards God, and even towards ourselves. I don't know how many of you end up some mornings you just wake up and you're kind of down on yourself. And you somehow wake up with regrets or problems that you wish you would have done something differently, or you wish that, you know, your life was different than it is right now, or whatever it is. And we can kind of go that direction pretty easily. That's another one of the schemes of the devil, by the way, is discouragement. Try to keep us from being happy and encouraged. And unfortunately, during my Christian life, I was saved at the age of 4 and raised in a church, and I've been around church people all my life now. So 60 years of hanging out with church people, 64 years, including my family, hanging out with them. And it's interesting how many Christians are grumpy and they never smile and they are so somber all the time. And I don't think reading scripture that's the model that God is trying to give to us. I really believe He wants to bring us joy and peace. And yeah, we get the long-suffering to go with it, but there's this peace that surpasses understanding as we go through long-suffering. So it's kind of, to me, it's important that we're not just, you know, we're going to stand, we're going to be there, and we're going to be, it's us against the world, and it's us against Satan, and it's us against everything. And, you know, it's like, no, it's Jesus and us. I woke up this morning thinking about Conrad Jones. And I'm thinking, he is somewhere in heaven, and I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but I'm pretty sure it's even better than here on earth. And he's up there in heaven, hanging out. He probably has a dog. And he's probably taking walks in the woods, maybe two dogs. Taking walks in the woods with Jesus and just having this great time conversing, walking along a stream or a river or climbing a mountain, and he's healthy, and his eyes are working, and his legs are working again, and he can breathe, and, you know, all of these things that you know, we take for granted sometimes until we can't do them. And to watch how Conrad was ready to go, he really, really was ready to go to heaven. And I just believe that he's having the time of his life. And to think, yeah, he passed away from here on earth, but his life is not over. It goes on and on and on forever. And it brings me joy to know that he's no longer in pain, and that he can commune with God face to face, person to person, and just hang out with him. And we'll get to go and see him again sometime. And Conrad had his good days and bad days. Any of you like that? Sometimes you have good days and bad days? You don't want to be around me on my bad days. I don't want to be around me on my bad days. But the good days get even better, and we go from glory to glory. And I guess it's going to be fun to be around people that don't have bad days and hang out with them for eternity. So, therefore, so that, to stand. Let's jump into the text. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. A couple stands here, there stands before this, there stands after that. It's kind of, if you're looking at this text, in the King James, it looks like it's a big wrestling match. Okay, at the end of a wrestling match, if you're the one standing, the other guy's down, you're victorious, right? It's kind of, in a battle is another way you can look at this. It's like you're standing your ground in a battle. There's conflict, there's struggle. And being able to withstand after you've done everything. The therefore part kind of goes back to, we can look what the context here. Finally, going back to verse 10, and I'll have to fix that reference on the top there. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. There's one of the stands. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, because we have this struggle, because we're fighting against evil, we're fighting against something that's bigger than us, because it's not something we can win in our own strength, therefore, put on the full armor of God. How are you going to defeat the devil? How are you going to defeat these powerful authorities and powers and darkness and evil, wickedness? How do you defeat all that? With God, if we're in the strength of God, in the power of God. So, therefore, you put on the full armor of God. And there's a reason we do that. So that when the day of evil comes, it's not if the day of evil comes, it's when the day of evil comes. You can go to theologians and you can find lots and lots of various understandings of what that means, the day of evil. Some people think it's only the last days, the final days. But when you read Paul in other places, he's talking about we're in these evil days. Pretty much, the day of evil is everything since the fall back in Genesis. And there's this struggle continues. Every one of us is living in evil times. We're living in the day of evil. If you're not aware of that, spend some time watching the news. Spend the time with yourself. You know, you can find ways to bring evil into everything if you're not careful. And if you're not turning back to Jesus, turning back to your strength, to God, if you don't have your armor on. So that day of evil, it's coming. It's when it comes. It's like it's going to come today. It's going to come tomorrow. It's going to come next week. Some days you're going along and everything seems fine, but don't let that fool you. There's still days of evil. When the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. It's pretty simple. It's like we don't want to be defeated. Why would you succumb to the evil? Most of Scripture, as you're looking at it, it's like, okay, historically, go to the Old Testament, the Israelites, and even before that, you got people that are going along and they're doing bad stuff. And then maybe they repent and maybe they don't. If they repent, it's usually only for a short time period, and then they go back to doing bad stuff. And they keep on failing and falling and not standing their ground with the days of evil. If you look at the book of Judges, there's this concept of, you know, that they had a judge and everything started working out well, and then they forgot that it was God giving them their strength and they fell back into the old patterns. And then they had to be either sent into exile or defeated by an enemy or something, and then they turn back to God and it's like, okay, things are good again. Another new judge comes in, they turn to God. When we turn to God, we can withstand the days of evil. When we stop turning to God and think we can do it in our own strength, we're going to fall. And after you have done everything, to stand. I kind of love that, because just when you think about Abram or Abraham back in the Old Testament, you start reading through his history. There's this time where there's a big famine in the land, and so he goes down into Egypt. Now, Abram, he wasn't Abraham yet then. Abram had a lot of people around him. He had a wife that was barren. couldn't have any kids on his own. He had a nephew with him, Lot. And he goes down there, but his biggest concern is, how can I keep my life and all my possessions? And he was worried that when they saw his wife and how beautiful she was, they would kill him and take her and let her live. So he kind of snuck around, didn't trust God at all. It's like, okay, let's make a plan. Hey, wife Sarai, why don't you tell everybody you're my sister? And then they'll treat me better because they'll think, okay, well, yeah, that's the brother that can give her hand in marriage. And so turns out they get down into Egypt. People see how beautiful his wife is, just like he expected they would. And they tell the king of Egypt. And he's like, oh, we'll bring her in. And so he brings her into his own household to become his wife. And Abram apparently was pretty good with all this stuff because he kept getting more and more stuff. And they were treating him really well. And he's getting more possessions and he's getting more servants and he's prospering. And it was God that sent in a dream to the king of Egypt. It's like, you know what? This is Abram's wife. You better not touch her. Oh, okay. So now he's a little upset. It's like, why did you let me take your wife as my wife? And kicks him out of the land and whatever. But Abram gets to leave with all this extra stuff that he got. He got a lot of new stuff. Later, when he's trying to work out, okay, God, you promised me you're going to give me a son, and I don't have a son. And his nice wife has a plan. I've got this female servant. Would you like to have a baby with her? And then we could call it our baby, and everything will work out fine. And you know, Abram had all kinds of problems like that. The reason I bring all that up is, after you've done everything to stand, what I love is in Hebrews, in the New Testament, when it starts talking about Abram and Sarah, his wife, Abraham and Sarah, it doesn't say, and they were like terrible sinners and they did all kinds of stupid things and they had all kinds of problems. It talks about their righteousness and their faithfulness and their faith. You know that you can mess up and God still loves you. You can have problems and still stand at the end knowing that God is the one that is our righteousness. God is the one that's our Savior, our caregiver, our all in all. And so when history starts writing about Abraham in the New Testament, it's like he was counted righteous. Wow. You don't have to be perfect to be counted righteous. Well, that's good news for me because I know that I'm not perfect. And if I want to be able to stand at the end, I can't go back and regret and worry about all the things I've done wrong. We could make a list. I'd probably miss some of the things because I can't remember all the bad stuff I've done or thought or whatever. And yet, God can look at me and he can see righteousness. He can see, wow, you're accepted in the Beloved. You're in my family. I've got a special room I'm preparing for you. I want you to be with me forever and ever. So therefore, this week's text, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, we know it's probably today, if not today, tomorrow, there's going to be evil that you have to have a way to deal with. When the day of evil comes, if you've got the armor of God on, you'll be able to stand your ground and after having done everything, to stand. You notice it also says the full armor of God. It's like, don't just pick and choose. I think sometimes we think we don't really need all of God's strength and all of God's power. Let's just pick the part that we want and we can do the rest. It's like, no, it's just none of me and all of him. So that I can stand my ground and after I've done everything to stand. In James, our little brother Jesus writes for us, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, why would the devil flee from me? I'm not very scary at all. It's come near to God, he'll come near to you. If you're with God, if you're submitting to God, you're submitting to the all-powerful, holy one, the devil's not going to bother with you. It's like, okay, this one's covered. He, she, they are under the blood of Jesus. They're covered with the full armor, I can't do anything to them. I'm going to get out of here. I'll go find somebody else. So he'll flee from you. Come near to God. He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Again, I was talking about how sometimes my experience with Christians is they're glum, and maybe they just read this verse and didn't read the rest of Scripture. Turning your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom. It's like if we're laughing about the wrong things and our joy is coming from worldliness and possessions and thinking that we're powerful and that we can do everything in our own strength, that's a problem. And that's where we need to humble ourselves. And then God will lift us up and bring us true joy and true laughter and true happiness. In Romans chapter 13, Paul's saying, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Okay, now, full armor of God, we're talking about, again, there's darkness and there's light. Which way are we going to go here? Because when you're facing the day of evil, you can turn to darkness. You won't be able to stand your ground if you give in to it. But you put on the armor of light. There's examples here. Let us behave decently. If you've got the armor of light on, you're just going to be a decent person. You're going to behave decently. As in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. There's this kind of concept of, you know that there's light, you're going to be seen. How do we act when we know other people are watching? How do we act when we know he who sees, God, is watching over us? If we think that nobody sees and nobody cares, our behavior, our attitudes, our actions, our words, they can change. This is kind of a weird historic time period where it seems like people are being challenged and punished and brought up on charges for things that they did 20, 30, 40 years ago. And there's video recording of it. Something that somebody thought they said privately shows up on the internet. And it's like, okay, what's the worst part of that? Is that they got caught? Or that they actually thought that way and said those things? Now, I love in Scripture where there's a bunch of religious people who bring a lady to Jesus and say, she was caught in adultery in the very act. And the way he responds to that, okay, well, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. I think we could all learn from that. Because he that watches knows all things. If you know, and here's the good news. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. And God is love. He's not keeping a record of wrongs against you. That's why he can look at Abraham in chapter 11 of Hebrews and say, Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. He overlooks all these other things. He can look at Moses and say, he was never afraid. Well, Moses was so frightened, he left Egypt and lived away from there for a long, long time before God gave him the burning bush experience and made him go back. But he doesn't get judged for the failures. He gets judged on, he had faith and it was counted as righteousness. And I think for all of us, if we've got the armor of God on, it's like, okay, yeah, we may fail sometimes. We may not pay attention and keep the armor on fully and walk humbly with our God. But the good news is, we're in the light. We know God sees all things. Let's just humble ourselves and turn to him. The Lord's Prayer. How many of you remember what that is? Somebody's just shouted out.
Our Father,
our Father who art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name.
Yeah, the whole thing about it is, God, you're good, you're wonderful, you're to be hallowed. And then how does it continue? Thy kingdom come. We want his kingdom here. That's true victory, right? When we've got the kingdom of God, well, do you know, we don't have to wait till death or the rapture for the kingdom of God. We can live in kingdom days right now if we recognize him as king. Your will be done here on earth, just like it is in heaven. And then we've got needs. Yeah, we understand that. God knows that. He knows what we need even before we ask. Give us today our daily bread. We can ask for our needs. That's okay. And then continue. What is the next?
Forgive
us our sins. Okay, and we all want that, right? In fact, I watched a YouTube video this week, and I won't mention the person's name, but somebody that had been standing on the steps of the Supreme Court, pointing at the court and calling out justices and threatening them. And then when he got on the Senate floor and explained his words, it's like, you know, I'm from Brooklyn. We talk rough. It doesn't really mean anything. Okay. He forgives himself. He wants forgiveness. What's the next phrase, though? Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us, or as we forgive our debtors. God's got a high standard. I have to forgive them, too. I want your forgiveness, Lord. Please give me your forgiveness, but don't make me forgive them. I want to be able to hold a grudge because they don't deserve love. They don't deserve forgiveness. They don't deserve all the good that you're trying to put on me. I want your goodness, Lord. I want your righteousness. I want your forgiveness. But I don't want to have to forgive others. Well, and it continues on in that prayer. It's like, if you choose not to forgive others, and Jesus, when he's given this prayer to his disciples, they're asking, like, how should we pray? And he said, pray like this. He doesn't say, memorize this prayer and say it over and over again. Sometimes we get it that way. Pray like this. God needs to be hallowed. We need to be humbled. The blessings and things that God's given to us, we're expected to give to others. If we don't really, truly understand God's forgiveness, we won't forgive other people. If we truly, truly understand the forgiveness of God, he will give us the strength to forgive those that are unforgivable, just like he forgave us. So you got all of these things that you could be doing in the darkness and maybe think you're getting away with it, but he that sees is seeing everything. So we're to put on the armor of light. And then after dissension and jealousy, rather, don't do all that stuff. Don't do that bad stuff. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we start talking about the different armor pieces, it's going to be interesting, I hope, for the rest of you. I know it is for me. That as I look at each piece of armor and what it represents, we're really putting on Jesus. When it starts talking about truth, when it starts talking about righteousness, when it starts talking about the Word, all of these things, it's Jesus. You can find other passages in Scripture that will take you and point you to Jesus for all of this armor that we're to put on. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. When Peter was rebuked, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't have the concerns of God on your heart or mind or in your words right now. You only have the concerns of man. The desires of the flesh. So the desires of the flesh is we want everything and we want it now and we want it just for us and not for you. And God's got a different plan. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the kingdom of God, or excuse me, the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. when we're taking on Christ, when we have the armor of God, it's actually taking captive our bad thoughts and turning them to thoughts of Christ in obedience. It's something that we can't do in our own strength, but with the strength of God, we can take captive every thought. Does that mean you won't ever have a thought that maybe you shouldn't have? Those thoughts are going to come, aren't they? Sometimes they come just on our own. We don't need help. We can sin all by ourselves. Sometimes somebody else comes alongside us and tries to encourage us to do something wrong. Sometimes the voice of the enemy, the devil or whatever, you know, Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it kind of thing. It's like, yeah, you can't blame the devil for everything. A lot of that stuff you're doing on your own. But yeah, sometimes the enemy comes against you and tries to get you to think things and do things. And you can take captive every thought. That thought comes in and it's like, well, what does God say about that? What do I do with that thought? Let's take it captive. Is it a thought that we need to act on? If it's a good thought? Like, you get this crazy thought that's like, oh, I think I should go and help somebody. That might be a good idea. But then when the enemy can try to do that, it's like, I think, you know, I can go help them because they really can't help themselves. And then maybe if I help them, then they'll be able to give me something that I need. And you can even take a good thought and twist it, and it can go real bad, real fast. But if we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, if we recognize that Christ is the one that's calling all the shots and we're walking in His light with His armor, we can just say, okay, Lord, what should I do with this thought? How can I make it obedient to You? Changes a lot. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the evil day comes, the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Lord Jesus, we're grateful that Your word is clear. I pray that I've been clear with it today. Help us to learn to turn every thought, every word, every action over to You so that You can make it right. You promise that You'll take all things and work them together for good. Even the mistakes, the sins, the rebellion that we sometimes have, Lord, You can turn that and make it into something good. Lord Jesus, help us to truly allow You to lead us in the way we think and in the way we act. In Your holy name we pray. Amen.